Well, let's open this evening in our Bibles to the fourth chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Follow with me as I read Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we spend just a few moments in it concerning a few simple thoughts, Father, we pray your Holy Spirit would have free reign in our hearts. Cleanse us from all sin. May there be clear communication between us and yourself. Father, that this time would be profitable, that it would be useful in our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't you like getting new things? Everybody likes getting a new car. I'm sure Belle would love to have a new car. She wouldn't be able to drive it. No, just kidding. We'd all like new things. We like new clothes, new cars, new whatever it might be. But new isn't always better. Did you ever have that happen? Buy something new and you find out what you had previously was better than that which you bought? Unfortunately, the mentality in our day and age, especially in the churches, is that new is always better. This evening, I just want to bring a message, very simple message, just entitled, Is New Better Than Old? Now, next week, we'll kind of turn the coin around on the other side, but you'll have to wait till next week to find out what that's about. But today, the question is new better than old? Now, here we have a very familiar biblical account, history written for us, of Cain and Abel. They were taught to bring the sacrifice to God, the atonement for their sin. Adam and Eve had been taught that in the garden after they fell. And they thought that they could take care of the situation themselves, this awareness that they had of their own nakedness. And so they sewed the fig leaves together. A type of salvation by works. Man doing the work to cover himself. And of course, God said that just won't do. And so God slaughtered the innocent animal and taught them the truth of the blood sacrifice of an innocent victim. And then he provided them with the clothes made from the skins of those animals. And that was, I believe, passed down to Cain and Abel, and they understood that. But in order for their society, their burgeoning, I don't know if you use burgeoning, but their blooming society of man, they needed to have food. More than just the animals. They needed to have crops. They needed the grains and the fruit. And so someone had to do that. And Cain obviously became quite gifted at raising crops, a gifted farmer. And there came a day, we don't know how much time had passed between when he was offering animal sacrifices. We don't know how long he did that until he finally looked at his crops one day and said, wow, I've really done a good job. And he patted himself on his back and said, this is so good, I'm going to offer it to God. And so we see here in this account that we read that Cain brought a new atonement. There's something new. It had never happened before. God had taught them that it was a blood sacrifice. But Cain was so proud of his work, he thought, you know, this is certainly going to be acceptable to God, and so I'm going to bring a new offering, and so God's going to be so proud of me, and he's going to be so happy with me, he's certainly going to bless me in great ways, because I have a new and a better way of salvation, a works-based salvation, just as Adam and Eve attempted to do in the Garden of Eden. And Cain obviously missed the point on that lesson that they taught him. But we know that this new way of atonement was unacceptable. We know that the new was not better than the old, because God confronted him and told him that if he would just do well or do the right thing, offer the blood sacrifice as he had been taught, as God demonstrated that he required, then everything would be well between Cain and God. But if he insisted on bringing the works-based offering or the works-based atonement, that things would not go well. Sin lieth at the door, and he would be in grave danger. We know how this turned out. It didn't turn out well for Cain. Cain had a hard heart. He was filled with pride. He refused to repent. He refused to admit that just because it was old-fashioned didn't mean it was out of date. And that's what we hear today. It was interesting. I went on a Bible study site this afternoon, and I saw the verses that I was looking for came up, and they weren't in the right, they weren't in the Bible. They were something that resembled the Bible. So I went up to the drop down menu that said, other translations. And do you know what one wasn't there? They had about a half dozen of them, but there was one that was interestingly missing. The King James Version. They didn't have a link to that one. I wonder what that was all about. They must feel that the old, just because it's old-fashioned means it's out of date. But that's not true. Cain found out the hard way that just because something's old-fashioned does not mean that it's out of date. And so there's the first thing we see. A new atonement, which represents a works-based salvation, is not better than the old way. God's way of salvation through the shed blood of an innocent victim. Turn over, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 12, page 519, if you have a Rock of Ages study Bible. 1 Kings chapter 12. Is the new better than the old? Cain found out the hard way that the new was not better than the old. The old was the best way and the right way and the God-accepted way. Here in 1 Kings chapter 12, we're jumping into the recently divided nation of Israel. You had the northern kingdom with the 10 tribes and the southern kingdom with the 2 tribes. Jeroboam was the king of the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes. And here in this chapter, we're not going to follow it all the way through. We're going to pick it up with verse number 26. But we see Jeroboam newly on the throne of those 10 tribes. And it says that he said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah." Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, the son of David. And so that who rightfully had the throne, but because of his not listening to the wise counselors, but following the foolish counselors, it split the kingdom. But anyway, Jeroboam, this is his thinking, this is his logic. If they go to sacrifice at Jerusalem, they'll begin to follow Rehoboam, and I'll be out of a throne. Continuing on in that verse, "And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." So here's a solution. Here's a solution. "Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.' And he set one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan." And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And so we see here that Jeroboam established a new worship. The old worship just wasn't going to do. Now, what was the problem with the old worship? Now, we were told his motivation for doing this, but why did the people follow it? Why did they sacrifice to the golden calves? They knew better. They had seen the hand of God's blessing on their nation as they followed God, and they understood those things, but why did they choose the new worship? Well, here's why. Because it was a more convenient way. Didn't take as much trouble. It was easier. It was less demanding. It wasn't as much time involved in doing it. And boy, that's what the religion people are looking for today. They want that which is more convenient. People want to be entertained. They want 45 minutes of music and 5 or 10 minutes of Bible message. That's what many churches are doing because they're trying to please the crowd. They're establishing a new worship just like Jeroboam did here. How did it turn out for Jeroboam? As you read all the way through 1 Kings and 2 Kings, you read of Jeroboam and the sin of Jeroboam and that the current king walked in the ways of Jeroboam, in which he made Israel to sin. This is something that God never forgot because the nation never let go of this false worship. And it was a stumbling block. And even when the nation falls and God lists why the northern kingdom fell, this is listed, even though it was hundreds of years later when it finally fell. Didn't turn out well for Jeroboam, this new worship. He thought the new would be better than the old. He thought the old-fashioned meant it was out of date. But he found out the hard way that just because something's old-fashioned doesn't mean that it's out of date. Worshiping God the way that God commanded, the way that pleases God, that He revealed to us in His Word, that never goes out of date. There's never anything wrong with doing that. In fact, there's everything right. And when we begin to change that, and we begin to worship through new methods and new ways, then that becomes a new method of worship, and God rejects it so often. Now, it doesn't mean that everything that's new is evil. Now, I just let you know what I'm going to preach about next week. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's wicked. There's a lot of new things that are good, but if you try to replace prayer, the song service, the godly, biblical-based song service, the giving of the tithes and offerings, and the preaching of God's Word, if you give up any of those things, then you've established a new worship. Because that's what they did in the Bible. God taught us that that's the way we're to worship Him. And so, Jeroboam established a new worship. It was more convenient. Cain brought a new atonement. It was works-based. Turn over, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 16. It's 572 if you have a Rock of Ages study Bible. 2 Kings chapter 16. Let's just look at the first three verses here. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his sons to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And so we hear, here we're introduced to King Ahaz. Now, what did Ahaz do here? He established, or he practiced, a new sacrifice. He practiced a new sacrifice. God nowhere commanded to sacrifice the children to him, or to any god. And yet we find there in verse number 3 that he caused his son to pass through the fire. Now, even though that doesn't say the word sacrifice, when you study what that is talking about, it's talking about taking an infant and sacrificing them to your God. It was Baal worship, and you would burn the poor, innocent little baby. Now, how did God feel about that? Well, look over in Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18, that's 182 if you have a Rock of Ages study Bible. Leviticus chapter 18, we'll look at verse 21. God says, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18, page 293 if you have a Rock of Ages study Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 10. Just in case they didn't get it in the book of Leviticus, he repeats it, and perhaps even a little more clearly for us, but It was just as clear to them in both passages how God feels about this. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 10. Well, let's back up to verse number 9. I think it's important we put verse number 9 in there. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. In other words, don't be like the world around you. Then he goes on to say, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or is an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. And it goes on and talks about different things. But the first thing on his list here is sacrificing a child to God, or a God. And we find that's exactly what Ahaz was doing, even though the command of God was very clear on the matter, and God mentioned it more than once in the Levitical law that he was not to do that. He did it anyway because he thought he had a greater sacrifice than what those animals and those bulls and those calves were, something that cost him more than those bulls and those calves. He thought that he could show his devotion to God in this fashion, that he could come up with a great sacrifice that he could perform that would please God. Unfortunately, it contradicted the Word of God, and it didn't result in the way that he planned. But it brings judgment. In fact, it plunged the whole nation. Look over in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse number 17. We find that as God now is listing the sin of the northern kingdom after they had gone into captivity, he says in verse 17 of 2 Kings chapter 17, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. And he goes on and says other things, but at the end of that verse he says that they sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And the nation goes into captivity. There's a lot of things that people do as a sacrifice to God. Every spring we hear about Lent. I know that maybe some of you at some point in your life observed that. But that began as a Catholic tradition to sacrifice something to God during those 40 days of Lent. Now, it's passed on to many of the Protestant denominations. And I remember on several occasions, I've had people look at me in astonishment that I didn't practice Lent, that I wasn't willing to sacrifice for God. Now, here we have the same principle of Ahaz establishing or practicing a new sacrifice, showing in his mind greater devotion to God than what God required and God demanded, and God wasn't pleased with it. In fact, God said, don't go beyond that. There's things that he doesn't want us to do. He wants us to just simply obey his word. And he wants us to be able to enjoy life. And I think of the Hindus, and maybe you've never studied what their worship is like. I mention it from time to time, how it's self-mutilation, and they're doing it in devotion to their gods. You see, that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to harm us, and he wants to harm our relationships, and he wants to destroy our lives. There's far too many pastors that just put their family in last place on their list of priorities, and they lose their families. And they say that I've sacrificed them for God and the glory of God. Well, they're lying through their teeth. Our family is our first ministry. We're to put God first, our family second, and our ministry third. And it's the same way with all of us. Our family cannot be replaced. And if we lose our family, we lose our ministry. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do for God. God thinks the family is pretty important. And if we try to sacrifice the family and excuse it by saying, I'm serving God, and it's a sacrifice he's called me to make, you're doing the same thing Ahaz did. You're practicing a new sacrifice, thinking that I'm showing my devotion to God in a greater way than what he could ever imagine. God's not impressed. God's not pleased. And God won't bless that type of a thought process. We need to put our families a little bit higher than in our culture we do. We think we can just trade them in and replace them. Well, that's being just like the world. That's being just like everybody else. But that's not God's way. That's not the Bible way. Ahaz thought he came up with a new idea, a better idea. He thought those old animal sacrifices were old-fashioned. They were out of date. But unfortunately, just because something for him anyway, just because it's old-fashioned does not mean it's out of date. Well, let's look at one more passage. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 22, page 538 in your Rock of Ages study Bible. 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22, let's pick it up in verse number 2. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours? And we sit and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art. My people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. Now that statement is a whole message in itself, because he was unequally yoking himself, and he made the mistake saying, I am as thou art. That's not true. Jehoshaphat was born again. Ahab wasn't. And so the king of Israel wasn't. All right, verse number 4. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Yes, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Poor Ahab here thinks that the old-fashioned meant it was out of date. That prophet Micaiah, boy, he was an old-fashioned prophet. He just wasn't supposed to say those things anymore. They had new prophets. And so Ahab adopted, or the king of Israel adopted, the new prophets, not those old-fashioned ones. What he's saying here is he wants a motivational and pleasing message, one that just simply approves of whatever he wanted to do. And that's exactly what they were doing here, telling him what he wanted to hear rather than what he needed to hear. Micaiah was faithful to God and faithful to the king, and Micaiah did nothing but tell him what he needed to hear. He told him the truth, where these others were lying. This is the equivalent in the New Testament of heaping false teachers to them because of tickling ears. They want the preachers to tickle their ears, and they want new Bibles that don't speak of sin, and they want new Bibles that meet their political correctness. And so they're taking the masculinity away from our Lord, where the Bible gives it the masculine pronoun in every instance. They say that old King James Bible is out of date. It's old fashioned. It's not useful anymore. It's been around too many years. We need a new one that says it in a new way and says it the way we want to hear it. That's motivational and pleasing in its message. No more of this negative business from the King James Bible that brings out sin. No more of that preaching that says that sinners are dying and going to hell. But let's encourage everybody, and let's love everybody, and let's just forget that God is judge, and let's just forget that hell exists. The king of Israel adopted the new prophets because he wanted that motivational, pleasing message. So the question is, over and over again, is new better than old? And the obvious answer is, not in every case. Turn over, if you would, one last passage, Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16. This is a verse I've preached from many times, kind of preaching it backwards, preaching the message before the verse, but this is something that I just want our church to get. I don't think we have a problem with this, but I preach on it anyway because I don't ever want it to become a problem. What happens if we get a couple families in here that have charismatic personalities, everybody loves them, and they're willing to do everything in the church. But then they begin to suggest, well, let's change the music. And they begin to suggest, let's get a different Bible. You can use the one you want, but let me use the one I want when I teach or when I do this or that. Let's just relax on everything. And let's not do things that old-fashioned way. What happens when that takes place? Will our church stand? Will we have the backbone to do what's right? Notice what it tells in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where's the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We have too many today that are saying we will not walk in those old ways anymore, because their opinion is that the old ways are out of date and that the new is better than the old. But we've seen at least four examples where the new is not better than the old. In fact, the new will lead astray. And so they need to go back to the old ways, because just because something's old fashioned does not mean it's out of date. And if we can just get a hold of that and we can cling to that, and no matter what the temptation might be to change that, that we can resist that temptation and we can stand strong, and so that in Bucyrus, Ohio, there will always be a lighthouse worshiping God the way that God wants us to worship Him, and not in any of these newfangled ways that are an abomination in the eyes of God. We need to stand strong. We need to speak the truth in love through grace. And so let's stand in those old ways. And let's not just ask for the old paths. Let's demand the old paths and require the old paths. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, we know that in our culture and day and age, this isn't necessarily a popular message. So many want a new message and a new way. They're tired of the old-fashioned, because it makes demands on their lives. And so they embrace anything that's new, no matter how faulty and how far from the Word of God it is. Father, may we as a church never be that way. May we as individuals right now decide and determine that we will never accept an ungodly way in our midst, that our church might always hold to the truth and worship You in spirit and in truth, no matter what happens. We'll thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.